T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Let's go to Italy and talk with Speaker Newt Gingrich. Mr. Speaker, any day is a great day to have Newt Gingrich. Thank you for joining us.
Well, glad to do it. It's a lot of things going on.
Well, this piece that appeared, I guess Newsweek is where I saw it, right? I'm in Italy amid the coronavirus.
Yes.
And you're there.
Well, my wife is the ambassador of the Vatican.
Right.
So she's here leading the embassy in the middle of the pandemic. And I'm really here as what the State Department calls a trailing spouse, but I'm writing a book and doing a bunch of other things. And it's really, it's a historic moment to be able to see a country trying to respond to what is really a very, very serious epidemic in northern Italy. I have to say that the Italians have been much more disciplined and much more realistic than the tradition would have had it. And that, in some ways, they actually are ahead of us. In other ways, they're behind us. But, for example, they have food in all their grocery stores. You don't see these empty shelf routine. They have strict controls over how many people can go in the store at one time. And people very patiently line up outside, keeping about 6 feet between them, and wait until their turn comes, and then they go in. And it's the only things that are open are grocery stores, pharmacies, and gas stations. And the rest is closed down. The restaurants have closed down, the theaters, the churches, you name it. And it's a very deep effort to isolate the vaccine, the virus, and hopefully starve it out.
Mr. Speaker, what's the lesson for us then? What's your takeaway? You're interconnected, second to none. You're a brilliant guy. Even when I differ with you, I check myself and think, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong on this. And you're there on the ground. What?
I don't know.
No, I do many times. And sometimes I say, oh, come on, dude has some wild ideas, the space colonization and all that. We'll talk about it another day. But what's the?
I was going to say, you want to talk to Elon Musk?
Yes.
About space colonization,
because
we can have that conversation someday too.
Yeah, exactly.
Or Jeff Bezos.
I mean, what's the lesson?
Matter, Donald Trump.
Yeah, what's the lesson for you
this? I think there are two lessons here. The first is when you have a brand new virus that has come over from the animal world and that we've never had with humans before, you have to take it very seriously. I mean, we can't compare it to the flu because we've had the flu around for over 100 years. We have a pretty good sense of the rhythm, and frankly, flu kills a lot of people. But this one you've got to worry about, is it going to evolve? Is it going to change? How dangerous is it really going to turn out to be? It's very dangerous if you're elderly and if you have any kind of other conditions. And I think the average person who's died in Italy right now is 81 years old.
Hmm.
But Italy is the second oldest country in the world after Japan. So they have a very large population of elderly people who are very much at risk for this. The second thing, and the reason I wrote that article, in part, having talked a good bit with the president and the vice president and their team, and I did two podcasts. I did a podcast called Newt's World. And in early February, we had Tony Fauci on, who people have now seen on TV day after day. And he spent a good time with us talking about the emergence of this coronavirus back in early February. And then this last Sunday, we did a podcast with the number two guy on viruses at the CDC, Center for Disease Control. and he walked through where they are now and how it's evolved. And those two, I think, stand up pretty well. But my view as a historian is when you're faced with a challenge like this, treat it the way we treated World War II. Plan for the worst case, overproduce, do everything you have to. So if you think you're going to run short of ventilators, make a whole lot more. If you're going to run short of intensive care units, you know, rent four or five of the cruise liners that are currently not being used, turn them into floating hospitals, and make sure you have more than enough rooms. But don't underestimate how bad it could be. Now, that means you're going to waste some money. It means you're going to probably overprepare. As Fauci said, and I read his transcript from four different interviews yesterday, and every time he said, look, I want to overreact. I want to do more than needed. So at the end of it, when we look back, we'll have saved a whole lot of lives. And people said, oh, gee, you know, you didn't have to do quite that much. He said, what I don't want to do is less than we need, lose extra lives, and if people look back and say, why didn't you do it?
Well, let me intervene, Mr. Speaker.
That's the biggest single lesson.
Mr. Speaker, let me intervene with that. And I'm in agreement.
Sure.
I'm a big fan of the Manhattan Project type of idea. But how about the other part of it, though, the limitations on Americans? Are you saying that too? Preparation and what you said, I don't care about wasting some money potentially given how big this is. But what about the idea of quarantine, the CDC saying you can't gather, you can't go out?
It's unavoidable.
You say so on that, too.
I mean, look, it's unavoidable. I mean, if you want to stop the virus, you can't go out. Look, this virus lives by going from one person to another. That happens mostly by coughing. So if you're within range of a cough, and one of the reasons that it dies down in the summer is your cough doesn't carry as far. So if you go to a local bar or you go to a local restaurant and you're around people and one of those people has the virus, by the end of the evening, 20 of them may have the virus. We had one, I think it was a banker in or a lawyer, I'm not sure which, but one pretty sophisticated guy New York who infected 50 people before they realized he had the virus.
Wow.
So you really, this whole idea that, look, we're in a city, Chris and I right now, we're in a city that has 900 churches, all of them closed. St. Peter's is closed. We actually went to Mass yesterday from the Basilica of the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception in Washington, D.C., and it was a streaming video. But if that's the price, because what they discovered, of course, was, and you saw this in South Korea, they had one church in South Korea that had, I think, 600 people who were infected. That church, ironically, had been doing missionary work in Wuhan, China.
Yeah.
And so it actually had missionaries at the very center of the original virus outbreak. So the Koreans identified the church, sealed off the church membership, got control of this thing before it got out of hand. Taiwan has done the same. Singapore has done the same. Hong Kong has done the same. You know, because those are countries where they immediately realized how dangerous it was. And, and Americans, I went through a whole period where it was always the news media is exaggerating. Look, I was a little of that. I had a little bit of, it's kind of like the flu. Well, it's turning out in Italy, for example, among older people, to be much deadlier than the flu. And I think you've got to really think about it. And that's why, well, they close the schools. It's true that the children aren't at risk. But the children, if they become carriers and they take it back home to grandma or grandmother or their aunt, suddenly people are going to die because of that. And so that's part of why they've been so aggressive about closing schools.
Mr. Speaker, we see this, and I'm not sure if it's around where you are the Italians united, you know, the singing thing, people singing en masse and doing that. Do you see signs of unity there?
Yeah, I think there's signs of the people determined to continue to be alive and to be social. And remember, what makes this very tough in this country is this is a country that loves to go to dinner. They love to be together. They love to have family gatherings. They like to enjoy life. It's part of what makes Italy such a wonderful country. So they're really being stressed because they're now being sort of told, stay in your apartment. And there's wonderful scenes. You go to YouTube of a street in Sicily where everybody's out singing opera, leaning out their windows. And there's just all sorts of fun things going on. And my daughter, Jackie Cushman, came up with the idea that we shouldn't talk about social isolation, we should talk about physical isolation, because the truth is you can be at home or you could be at your office in between all your various electronic devices. You're still talking to your friends. You're still engaged. You can still be doing things. We don't want people to be isolated psychologically. We just want them to be careful about not transmitting the virus.
You have a new book coming out in the middle of all this. Well, two. One, we're talking to your people about getting you here to Philadelphia on, which is kind of a blueprint for the upcoming campaign. You might have to put some revision in there, I think, given the coronavirus.
We are.
Yeah, I figured you would.
I'm writing the book right now, and I'm talking to my publisher about, you know, we can't rush to publication because the whole world's changing. I mean, I've said this to people in the campaign. You can't take anything that we polled or focus grouped or strategized on 5 weeks ago and assume that it's still valid. And we're going to have to go back and go through the whole thing and try to decide where we are. I mean, that's just a fact.
But you have Shakedown. You have Shakedown coming out on the 23rd.
So Shakedown, which comes out next week, that I can talk about.
Yeah, tell me what Shakedown.
About a Russian and an Iranian.
Yeah.
Well, it's about a Russian and an Iranian plot to use. This is something the Soviets actually looked at, to use a submarine with a nuclear weapon off of Baltimore and Washington to try to set up a tsunami by setting it off underwater. And it's a very rapid, exciting kind of adventure. The kind of book that is great at the beach. It's great if you want to take a couple hours to think about something other than the virus. It's a lot of fun, and it's about really, you know, the effort to convince the American government that this thing is real. Because, of course, all the bureaucrats initially go, well, that's not going to happen, and you guys are exaggerating. I think that people will find that it's a very interesting book. It's called Shakedown, and follows on several earlier books that Peter Lee and I did that build on this whole theme of that the world's really dangerous and there are people out there who don't like us.
Parting question for you, Speaker Newt Gingrich with us. You said you talk to people in the Trump circles and all. What's your sense? Now, you've gone further just in the article and talking to you today than they have, at least publicly. So what's your sense of what they may do next, or what are you advising them to do if you are?
Well, I think if you listen to Tony Fauci, you get the best of the advice on how to deal with these kind of epidemics. You know, and he would close down all the bars and all the restaurants. And the reason is because he really wants to cut off the places where the disease leaps from person to person. And initially people are going to be very cautious about that. They're going to be very resistant. But I can tell you, sitting in, I'll give you just one factoid. The Milan newspaper's obituary section has gone from one page a day to 10.
Wow.
Now you think about that.
Yeah.
And 300 and some people die in one day in Italy. And America is 5.5 times the size of Italy in population. So that would be like having almost 2,000 people a day dying. That's a very sobering concept, and it's well worth our being a little inconvenienced. The sooner we clamp down, the sooner this will be over, the sooner we can go back to normal life.
Mr. Speaker, thank you very much. Safe travels, and we will be talking with
Glad
you down the road. Thank you for joining us today.
Great. Thanks.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.